Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Merry Christmas, everyone, if you celebrate Christmas, that is. I had an experience a number of years ago, probably mid-90s, went to family Christmas dinner, and on the way home from the dinner, I was having this conversation with my wife, and I looked at her and I said, is it just me, or did we not just participate in the exact conversation that we had exactly the year before during Christmas, and almost at the exact same time with the same people? And she said, no, it's not you. You're exactly correct. And I started thinking about this because this time of year, I get so many questions about how do we deal with family when we go into holiday situations, whatever holidays they may be. And you're going to be around family that you don't see most of the year. And there's problems. It's a real, real issue. And I think, you know, I mean, we see magazines do articles about this. We see clips about it on TV. I just did a clip for the Charlotte News for a television broadcast about how to deal with this. And I remember seeing it like forever, that every holiday season, how do you deal with family relatives? How do you deal with these Christmas situations? Because the holidays can be stressful for a lot of families. They really can. And I want to get back to the idea of what is the gathering supposed to be about, and how do we maintain peace going into these situations where there's a lot of potential for turmoil, and how do we find peace in that situation? And if not, what do we do? What are our options? Because I think the way that it's for society approaches this right now is, how do I manage a dysfunctional situation? And here's the bottom line truth. We don't have to manage a dysfunctional situation. We can choose not to go. But if we come from where most people are in this idea, it's that they feel an obligation that they have to go. It's their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, their cousin, their aunt, their uncle, their grandparents, whatever it might be, a combination of all of them in a holiday situation that was supposed to be festive. Now, let's think about this for a moment, because holidays show up in our life for various different reasons, but the truth is most of them follow some kind of a tradition. The original idea about these traditions was celebration of the harvest, celebration of God, celebration of a person's birthday, celebration of a milestone in life. It was supposed to be about celebrations. It was supposed to be about gratitude. The conversations should be, ideally, sitting around talking about, what have we achieved this year? Why are we grateful for our life? Talking about all the new things that people experience in the family as they're off living their own lives, and talking about celebrations. And yeah, maybe talking about some things that didn't go right also. But when, more often than not, a lot of what we see happening is families coming together, and there really isn't a whole lot new from one year to another, because they're living the same life over and over again. Every year is a repetition of the year before. There's nothing new. There's nothing exciting. Maybe with the exception of people going through the years where they're raising children and they may have had a new child, or your children are moving to new levels in life and doing things, and those conversations will last for a few minutes. But one of the things that I noticed, and I've had many people talk to me about, is they get to these dinners, they get to these celebrations with family, and people are talking about the past. year after year after year. And it's the same damn story over and over and over again, usually with just a little more drama added to it. That's about the only thing that changed. And I realized many years ago that this was really indicative of the idea that most people are not creating their life year over year. They're not really sitting down and looking at, what did I create this year? And what do I want to create next year? Where am I going? What needs to change? What can I get better at? What am I not happy with? How do I go about doing that? And then so they live basically the same year over and over again. During this time frame, when people are doing this, there are things that are changing. People get married, people get divorced, people have children, people have grandchildren. People get sick, they have illnesses. There's changes that life kind of forces upon us as we go through life. And very often, those changes, for whatever reason, will upset members of the family. The way that we behave, the way that we act, the way that we don't act, the acknowledgments that we make, the jealousies that we have, the slights that we hold on to forever. And we end up going to these festivities out of obligation with a tremendous amount of stress. In many situations, it's broken families coming together and trying to figure a way to celebrate something with new partners in the mix and people dropping children off and having their new partner with them and jealousies that are occurring and hatred that's occurring and families ganging up on one person. It's no wonder that people enter these situations with a great deal of stress. And what I would like to suggest today is a way for you to remember what the spirit of the holiday is and a way to bring peace to yourself and actually enjoy it in the spirit that it was supposed to be enjoyed. Now, I think all of life should be this way, not just the holidays. So I think that's part of the problem. Very often people are going through their life without direction. They're not happy. Many people are miserable, carrying all kinds of things from their past. And then they get to this spontaneous combustion moment of family, and all of these things start to come up. Now, you mix that with a little bit of alcohol, and you got a firebomb on your hands. So there's also that situation. There's the infamous aunt or uncle that can't keep their mouth shut, that always has to make the critical comment. The person that gets drunk and they act like an idiot. It's like the old cliche of the one groomsman or something at a wedding that gets loaded and then starts hitting on all the bridesmaids, and he's married himself, like, just, you know, makes a complete embarrassment of himself and ruins the festivities for everybody else. So with all these different things that can happen, it's no wonder that there's so much stress going into it. So first of all, I think that in order to not just move through life with peace, but enter into these situations in a way where we have peace, is that we really take a good look at our life first. It's because really all change is about responsibility. So bring it in for yourself and bring it in for your immediate family and sit down and talk about, how do we consciously want to experience this season, this event, this holiday, this gathering, this get-together? How do we actually want to experience this? What do we want to get out of it? What do we want to put into it? How do we want to enjoy it? Then you sit down and actually plan that out. You think about it. You talk about it. You let everybody share ideas. Everybody's idea is considered. Everybody gets to contribute to the plan of how it's going to be enjoyed. And I think then you have to ask yourself, is there anybody that you're choosing to bring in from the outside, or are you choosing to go somewhere where there's somebody that is not coming from this spirit of harmony and peace and joy and celebration? Is there anybody going to be there that's not coming from that place? Their place is basically I'm going to be a shit disturber. I am going to try to make everybody's life miserable because my life is miserable. I'm going to nitpick. I'm going to make fun of. I'm going to ridicule. I'm only going to talk about the negative. I'm going to talk about how terrible my life is and everything that's gone wrong. And then, you know, that person's attempt is to actually bring anybody down and bring everybody down. And then you have a choice to make. Do you want to be around this person? Here's the part that I think is completely irrelevant. When the idea pops into your mind and you say to yourself, but they're family, they're family. We have got an underlying allegiance to family that is becoming more and more twisted. And here's what I mean by this. I see people tolerate things in the name of family that they would never tolerate anywhere else in their life. If they had a friend, if they had an employee, if they had an employer, if, you know, anybody in their life that behaved in these atrocious ways, if treated them atrociously without respect, degrading, you wouldn't tolerate it. You would move away from that person. You would not allow that person in your life. But the interesting thing is that when it comes to family, there's something in our mind that switches that button off, and it seems to be okay. We find a way to justify it. Well, it's only a night. It's only a weekend. It's only a day. It's only Uncle Pete, you know. We can figure a way to get around it. Don't talk to him as much. Talk to other people. Try to get him to drink more water instead of whiskey. Like what we start doing is we start managing the problem before we even get there. And that should be a sign in and of itself that something is seriously wrong if you're thinking about managing it. I used to think, because I started off doing it that way also, I was like, okay, let me see if I could control the direction of the conversation. So I sat down and I asked myself, what do I know about this situation? What do I know about the people that are going to be there? It's the same people every year. They haven't done a damn thing with their life. I know all the history about everything that's gone wrong in their life. So after the 10 minutes of generalities get out, hi, how are you? Happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that it might be. Then the stories start to show up. And the stories inevitably are about what part of their life sucks or how are they being victimized by something. And it opens up a Pandora's box because then one person jumps in and another person jumps in and it starts to become, well, if you think that's bad, listen to what happened to me. And listen to what happened to this person and listen to what happened to your aunt. And the whole conversation starts to go down this rabbit hole. It's emotional. It brings out, in many cases, it brings out intense emotion. It opens the door for bad things to be said, for hurtful things to be said. So I started thinking, all right, so I know who all these people are. How can I redirect conversation as it starts to go down one of these roads? So I started thinking about all the different stories that everybody tells. And the first time I tried this, and this is, Brandon, you'll get a kick out of this. The first time that I tried this, I started to come from the place of what was new in my life, right? And my life was getting exponentially better at that time. That was like somebody dropped a giant turd in the middle of the room because the comments started coming, oh, good for you. I didn't realize you were such a big shot now. Must be nice to have money. And I was like, oh, shit. I opened up the wrong door, right? So I went back to the drawing board. New strategy, right? Learn from your mistakes, new strategy. So the new strategy was don't talk about myself, find new things to talk about with other people. So like something simple, like, so Uncle John, what's new in your life? Like tell me something amazing that's happened to your life right now. And I would get a look, like somebody would look me in the eye and they'd be like, nothing. What the hell do you think? Like, I still work for, you know, shit so-and-so, and I still have this physical problem, and I still can't pay this bill, and the government's screwing me on the taxes, and it wasn't working. And the more I would try to redirect conversations, it became an impossibility. And I found out at that point, like, I'm not having any fun with this. Because number one, it's almost impossible to read, you know, you got 15 people sitting around at a table for dinner or having drinks or whatever, and their real intention, even though it's unconscious, is to talk about how terrible everything is. Then it's like herding cats. It's not going to work. Over a period of time, and I will admit that this took me a few years, because I was, when I first started learning and starting to be conscious about the direction of my life and how I wanted to create it, I was certain I could bring everybody with me. And it was a painful experience of learning this basic fact. Not everybody wants to have a happy life. Not everybody wants to have a peaceful life. Not everybody wants to have a prosperous life. Not everybody wants to sit down and take a look at their life and say, where is it going to go next year? How can I create this better? What are things that might be weaknesses that I have that I can work on to make myself a better person next year? Well, as I began to learn that, then the decision around finding my own peace became very clear. And I remember hearing this. I can't say that I remember where I heard it first. I did hear it a lot through the years, but I don't remember where the first person I heard this from. Somebody said to me, you know, you could, because I was explaining this problem to a person, and the person said to me, you know, David, you can create your own family. You don't have to accept the one that you were born into. You can create your own family. And there was part of me, like there's this part of you that wants to reject that idea, because I think that for most of us, we carry around this allegiance and this obligation to showing up for the family that we were born into. And I'm not saying that everybody has to leave their family. I'm not saying that at all. I think that everybody deals with different levels of problems with their family. And I've done several episodes where we talk about the difference between mild dysfunction, severe dysfunction, and outright toxic situations. I think that when it's an outright toxic situation, you have to make the decision to walk away and change it. Because within the idea of toxic is the idea that they don't want to change. And they're going to do everything that they can to bring you down and make you miserable. Everybody has some dysfunction that's going on in their family, but do they have the skill set to maintain a positive direction in where it's going? And when I realized that many of the people in mine did not, then it became this choice of, all right, I'm going to create my own family. I do not have to do this. Now, I will say, I got a tremendous amount of pushback on that, because now it was, I have a choice as to where I'm going to accept an invitation to go for Christmas. That stopped pretty quick. And what I decided was I was going to create Christmas. I was going to create holiday celebrations myself. And then I was going to choose who I invited to those things. Or I would take the holiday and say, you know what? I'm going to spend maybe one day with my kids, and then I'm going to go and have a different experience for Christmas. I'm going to go somewhere different. And I've done that several times where for Christmas I've actually gone somewhere else, whether it's another country or some amazing property or experience, and just celebrated it with someone that I was with at the time, and had an amazing time without any drama. So this brings me down to this idea. How do we keep our peace? How do we remove the chaos, remove the craziness, and stay in peace? your peace, everybody's individual peace, is 100% your responsibility. It's a state of mind. It's a state of being. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of internally processing what is going on in your life. And if we don't understand that, we end up looking for it outside of ourselves. And I think that we have to stop being romantic about the idea of the way family should behave when you can't control how family behaves. Now, for all of you that are listening to this where you have an amazing family and you don't have any issues with this whatsoever, I think that's fantastic. God bless you. I'm really happy that's your experience. But it would also be, I think, a good thing for those people to still keep the idea in mind and pass along the conscious creation of what it is that they do with their functional families to their children. Because at some point in time, your children will go off on their own and they will start to create their own families. And they may run into this with a spouse or, you know, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a lover, whatever it might be. Or they'll be in social situations for the holidays where they might run into the same problem. And we need to empower them to know that they are responsible for their own peace and that we do not have to tolerate in any situation, whether we have a functional family or a dysfunctional family or a toxic family or we're in a bad situation based on some kind of a holiday experience, we absolutely do not have to tolerate toxicity and chaos and craziness. We don't. It doesn't matter if it's the holiday party at work. It doesn't matter if it's a social situation, some organization that you belong to. And it certainly doesn't matter if it's family. Are people going to be upset, talk about you, be angry with you, hold a grudge, talk behind your back? Yep, that's probably going to happen. But the way to maintain your peace is to really understand that I think we have a purpose in life. Our purpose is twofold. It is to maintain our happiness and our fulfillment, which means that we control who we're around, what we do, how we think about it, how we feel about it. We have to really be cognizant of the meanings that we give to things. So whatever we're experiencing, if we give it a negative meaning, we lose our peace. If we give it a positive meaning, we can maintain our peace. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, what if I'm in a situation where it's really negative, it's really bad, and in the moment, I can't get out of it. Like, there's extenuating circumstances. I just can't get out of this situation. Then the idea is that you give that situation a meaning that serves you, which may be simply this. The people that are acting in a rude way, the people that are acting in a stupid or crazy way, the person that's being a drunk idiot, the person that's being mean or jealous or envious, the person that's trying to manipulate you. If you come from the consciousness of they don't understand what they're doing, because in truth, they really don't. If people really understood what they were doing, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing. So a lot of it is about awareness. And if we come from the place of really looking at them and go, you know, there's something about their life that is causing deep pain in some way. And we begin to understand and we have empathy for those individuals. We can move to a place of gratitude and deepen the gratitude in our own life. Deepen the gratitude for the ability to consciously choose not to end up with that experience in life. We can also practice forgiveness in a huge way. Like literally, as people are doing things that are hurtful, we can forgive in the moment. We don't have to take it on. We don't have to take on their behavior, their comments, their attitudes. We don't have to take it personally in any way. We can simply understand that they're in pain in some way. we may or may not understand what that is. We probably should stay away from the idea of whether we think they're entitled to that pain or not, because that's a crazy judgment that can go in a lot of different ways. And just look at the facts. Here's their behavior. Their behavior is not good. There's something in their life and their thought process that causes them to stay in this story. It's the only way that they know how to make a meaning out of life where they feel some safety or sense of certainty. Forgive them for what it is that they do and decide that next year you're going to make a better choice for yourself. But internally, say to yourself, I'm really grateful for this experience because in this moment when things are not going well, it's enlightening me to the idea that I can create the next one better. I can create it in a way where it absolutely does go well. And you can take charge of the situation. You could take charge of your life. And when you do that, you take charge of your own peace. You're able to stay in peace at that moment. I have found that in a really bad situation, if you can't leave, which I always think, look, everything comes down to a choice. Everybody has a choice. But let's just say you're in a situation, for whatever reason, you feel you can't leave. Walk away from whatever the confrontation is in the moment. Go into the bathroom. Go sit someplace where nobody is going to disturb you. And sit there and think to yourself, what am I grateful for in my life right now? What am I really grateful for in my life? Find something, focus on it, be grateful for it. And then ask yourself, what do I appreciate that's good about myself? And see if you could come up with three things that you're grateful for and three things that you appreciate. By the way, it's a great conversation at a table when you've got a lot of people at a table and you know that the best way to keep it productive is to control the conversation. Say, let's play a game. Let's go around the table and let's see if we can each name three things that were in the spirit of the holiday, right? Use that. That's a good way of bridging this. In the spirit of the holiday, let's take a few minutes and go around and everybody find three things that they're grateful for and three things that they appreciate about themselves. And you start it yourself, and this way you can lead it with something that's really positive, which then gives other people permission to tap into something, and you never know. You just might change a person's perspective on it. I've seen it happen more than once. So take responsibility. If you're going to be in the situation, consciously try to be a leader and direct it in a positive way. Refuse to argue with people in these situations. If they're belligerent, remove yourself from the scene. Practice your own gratitude and appreciations and make a better choice next time. But do this. Never let somebody else steal your peace. And if they do, go back and reflect on what is it that you thought you needed from them that allowed you to open a door where they could disturb you that much. Because the only way that somebody can disturb you that much is if you actually think you need something from them and you open a door emotionally to them and then they abuse that opportunity. I sincerely hope everybody has an absolutely magnificent and magical holiday season, and I wish you all peace. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.